The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Eye on Real Estate, your premier source for real estate information. From the heart of New York City and the tri-state area to the most active real estate hotspots across America. Keeping you plugged in to the latest real estate market trends, from mortgage news and legal developments to everything you need to know about buying or selling a property, benefited by the advice of the experts. Now, here's the host of Eye on Real Estate, the vice chair of Douglas Elliman, Dottie Herman.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Saturday. Even though I know the weather in New York is a bit cold, it might be better today, but we're soon going to have some nice weather. And I must tell you, it's wonderful to have seasons because at least you have something to look forward to. And so hopefully we'll have a good spring and nice weather, and everyone's happy when the sun is shining. It just makes everyone happier. Welcome to Eye on Real Estate. We have a great show for you today, as always. You know that real estate is a universal language. I say it might be the universal language. Everyone wants to know about it. Everyone wants to talk about it. Sometimes I just want to run because everyone, what's my house worth? Should I sell now? Should I wait for interest rates to go down? Are the prices up? I mean, it's never ending. But I've been in the business a long time, and I have to tell you, of course, at the time I wanted to be a teacher, but I didn't make enough money, and someone, I think Jerry Crowley said, get into radio, and I have to tell you, I love it. I love the guests. I love all your listeners. I hope that you, we correspond all the time, and it's kind of something I love to do, and hopefully I'm going to have a second show sooner than you think. That'll just not be on real estate, will be on anything you want to talk about. But we've been doing the show about 12 years, and you can tune in on Saturdays at 10 a.m. and 970 The Answer, or you can go to the mobile app or the iHeartRadio app or the iTunes app. Okay, please follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Instagram at Dottie Herman. And please feel free to visit www.dottieherman.com and sign up for my monthly newsletters. They're really interesting, so sign up. I'd like to hear from you, and I love to hear your opinions on things. This week, we'll have three special guests at 10 a.m. for the first hour. We'll be joined by Lucas Ferrara, a really great, great real estate attorney at Newman Ferrara LLP, who specializes in real estate law and real estate. He does closings. He does contracts. He deals with buyers. He deals with sellers. I'm not sure. He might know just as much. We're going to be a great team, and everything that you need to know about real estate we'll be able to cover. And then in the second half of the show, we'll have two special guests this week. At 11 a.m., we will be joined by Forrest Lesh Middleton. I hope I'm saying that name right. Founder of FLM Ceramics, Potter, Tile Maker, Educator, and the author of Handmade Tile. I certainly wouldn't try it myself because I'm not the artistic type. I wish I was, but I'm not. But if you can do this, it sounds very interesting. You can design, create, and install custom tiles. Now, hopefully you have some talent because you only want to do that if you have some talent in designing them. He'll be discussing installing homemade tiles in your home and how to have custom tiles and how to design them. At 11:30, we'll be joined by Susan Sully, architect and interior designer, a writer, and the author of Past, Present Living with Heirlooms and Antiques. We will be discussing incorporating antiques into the home. And, you know, even with my home, I love modern, so my home is modern, but I always feel that you don't want it to look like a showroom. That's just, so I think that the way to, I mean, this is just my opinion, is to take, you know, a layout and then throw some antique-y things in, or throw some things that's just kind of, you know, that you mix in so it doesn't look like just one look. And I think a few antiques are just wonderful. And some people's homes are all antiques. So she's a really great guest, and you're just going to you're gonna want to hear all about her. You can follow me. Please do. And if you have any ideas or you want to hear anything particular from either myself or Lucas, please, please let us know. Just want to tell you a little news, quick. But Manhattan's luxury housing market had its best week. And it you know, and they're doing well with the luxury. I mean, it's going to take New York a little bit to come back fully. And I know that we'll talk about it later if we have time. Lucas can talk about it. But, you know, we're talking about, like, the city, the whole rent thing. And there's a lot of changes that are going on. And all I'm going to ask is, I never try to put my opinion on you. I'll tell you it's my opinion. But for those of you who are listening, and those of you who think things should be fixed or things should be need some work, don't be silent. Write to your congressman or write to, you know, somebody, because that's the only way things get really done. You know, you just can't complain about it and then not do anything about it. So let's, you know, let's keep those things going, because we want New York to be what it was 10 years ago, and it's getting there, but we can expedite it if we all help out a little bit. Quickly, before I get involved, I just want to give you the NAR, the settlement, and I'm sure, Lucas, you're very attuned to this. The NAR, you know, it was in the papers last week, and the reason I didn't discuss it last week is somebody said, well, why didn't you talk about the NAR and what's going on with buyers and sellers and commissions? And I said, because it was kind of new, and, you know, I know there's always revisions when they first put something out, and it wasn't approved by the judge. It still hasn't been, but it is pretty much 100% going to be improved. And basically, the NAR settlement, the purpose of the NAR's landmark settlement, and the NAR, for those of you who might not know, is the National Association of Realtors, was to decouple the commission paid by the sellers from the buyer's agent. The settlement means that the users of representatives' services must pay for those services. So normally, just to make it easy for you, when you bought a home, whatever the commission was in the price of the home, usually built into the price of the home, and it was usually split. I mean, traditionally, I mean, you could have had different versions of that. But on the average, it was usually split. If it was a 6% commission, it was 3-3. And if it was a 5%, it was 2.5 to the listing broker, 2.5 to the selling broker. And now what they want to do is, what they did, is basically change that. And they decoupled, actually it's called the decoupling of commission. They're taking the commission separate. So instead of splitting the commissions, the buyer, this, if you're listed, the listing broker will tell the buyer, the seller, I'm listing your home, here's what I charge, here's the services I do, here's my commission, and then the seller can agree to that or not agree to that, and then the seller pays whatever that commission is, and then the agent will ask the seller, do you want to pay the commission for the buyer? Or do you want the buyer to pay his own commission? And that the selling broker will have to deal with getting that in writing and getting an agreement. And Lucas, you have any thoughts on this? Because, I mean, it's what you do every day also.
Dottie, first of all, good morning. Thank you so much for having me on the program. This is truly an honor. So it's so great to be with you this morning and your listeners. Whenever I do a deal, Dottie, it's always been negotiable. The commissions have always been negotiable. So this, f- as far as I've been concerned, there's been no set rule. I know there are standard percentages, but I've said to brokers, this is too much. If you want the listing, you've got to come down to X. And so I think this does empower people, but that power always existed, don't you think?
Well, yes, it did, because, okay, but the way things, I mean, just so, let me see if I can explain this. But what really happened, I mean, if you took the listing and then the buyer showed customers your property, the buyer was actually working for the seller. And even though I will say, you know, legally, the selling broker really shouldn't be able to disclose anything. Like people will say, gee, Dottie, what do you think I could get this property for? And let's say the seller had his property listed at $600,000, but he said, I would take $580,000. Well, a lot of times the seller would say, gee, what can you get the house for? Well, if you tell the seller, the buyer, oh, you could get it for $580,000, well, he's never going to offer full price. So really, by law, everyone was supposed to be working for the selling broker. And so now, and I don't know that that always happened, but the way it works now is there's two pieces to it. The selling broker, who can get compensated by the seller. The selling broker can get compensated by the person who's buying the house. The buyer's broker will. He can make a deal and he can say to the buyer, listen, now I am going to represent you. I'm not going to represent the seller. And I kind of think that's good because the buyers really didn't have any representation. So the buyer is going to have, if he pays, his own representation, where the selling broker will represent him. And so let's just say there was something that was not favorable in the area. Like, let's say there was an oil tank or something that had bad fumes. He would disclose that. Okay, but then he would get paid by the seller, the buyer, and the buyer then could add the commission on to whatever their mortgage was. So if they had a $500,000 mortgage and the commission was $20,000, they would just make it $520,000. Now, the seller can still pay the full commission. And if you're a seller and you pay the full commission, and you say, I'll do what I've always done. I'll pay for the buyer. Whatever the price is, the total commission is included. Well, I think that's an incentive for the buyer. Because a lot of buyers maybe don't have the extra money. And it also, I think it stands out. But I mean, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, but don't you think they'll factor that into the sales price? If I know I have to pay for the buyer, the buyer's going to end up paying for it one way or the other, don't you think?
Oh, well, what Lucas is saying is that when the seller looks at how much commission he has to pay,
right,
what he does is he says, well, I need to get X. I have to pay X amount of commission, so let me build it into the price.
Right.
So you're saying that he's going to build that into his price anyway.
Of course. So how does this help?
Well, first of all, it separates, in my opinion, it separates representation.
Okay.
Okay, and I think that's a good thing, because if you were a buyer, even though I do think that, you know, that was kind of a gray area, but if you were a buyer, the agent that took you out was working for the seller unless you had a contract with the buyer as a buyer's agent. So basically, the buyers had no representation. And so if there was something negative, you know, that they knew about, you know, not a material thing, but they really had no obligation to tell you that. So actually you're paying for representation. And I think when you're buying a home, it's really good for the buyer to have representation. Do I think that the sellers are going to add it into the price? Well, they always did. So what's the difference?
Okay, you got me there.
I mean, I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to be any different. Now, if the seller is going to pay the commission, and the seller says, I'm not paying the buyer's commission, I'll pay 3% to the listing broker, but you get the commission from the buyer broker, then the selling broker, then the owner can make the price less because he's not paying as much commission. But then the buyer will have to will pay it, so it'll get onto their mortgage. I don't know. You know, I mean, I think that's how it should work.
We'll see how this plays out, Dottie.
Well, I think it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be a big difference. I think that in the beginning, there's a lot of questions. People aren't sure, and I think it depends. And this is just my opinion, guys. If you're in a market like we're in now, okay, for example, we're in a market for most areas, there's no inventory. Okay? So if you're a seller and you technically did not want to pay the buyer's commission, you might be able to get away with it in this kind of market because there is no inventory. So a buyer, if he wants a house and the seller's not paying the buyer's commission, he's going to have to do it because it's not that he has a million houses to choose from. But in a different kind of market, that might not be a strategy. So I really think you need to talk to your broker about it, look at the market conditions, and make a decision. And this isn't going to start until, I believe, sometime in June, like June 15th. So I think, you know, if you're thinking of selling your home or you do have your house on the market, you should call your broker. And call, you know, you can call Lucas or somebody, an attorney that deals with this, and they can explain it to you. I mean, I don't know. Do you have a better explanation?
I think you've got it. You are the maven here when it comes to broker stuff.
Oh, well, I don't know. Listen, that's all you do. You do that for a living, so you're just as knowledgeable, if not more, than me.
Oh, yeah, but I don't live and breathe it like you do, Dottie. Okay, I'm more the litigation guy. I come after people and sue them for their commissions. So I also do a lot of litigation, so my perspective is more after the fact, if you know what I'm saying.
Got it. But you know, Lucas, I happen to read the papers, and
uh-oh,
I was wondering... Uh-oh. If you saw this, it says fed up homeowner arrested. And I really don't understand how this happens. Fed up homeowner arrested after tense standoff with squatters stealing $1 million house she inherited from her parents. And it was on the news. Can you talk about that?
Oh, my goodness. Can I talk about that? Dottie, this, first of all, this utter pandemonium when it comes to this whole squatter issue. I've never seen so many stories about squatters popping up in the last week or so. I mean, I've been doing this for 35 years, and all of a sudden, squatters on every paper, including just the other day, they found a woman's body in a duffel bag in Manhattan, and apparently or allegedly, she was killed by squatters. I mean, what is happening to our great city? This is utter pandemonium. Now, first of all, if I may, Dottie.
You may.
You may be the maven when it comes to commissions, but let's talk about this wackiness when it comes to squatters. That story that you're talking about was prominently featured in the New York Post. The New York Post did a great story on it, and it's about this lady in Flushing, Queens. She inherited a house that's about $1 million. And for some reason, which is not clear, the house was kept empty, she claims. And while the house was empty, she alleges that these total strangers took over the home and made it their own. Now, my friends, when you take over someone's property without their permission, without paying rent, that is a squatter by definition. Someone enters without permission.
Okay, Lucas, this is so interesting. It's a cliffhanger. You really want to know this? It's something everyone needs to know. We're coming to commercial breaks. Lucas will take this subject about squatters and the rights and what rights you don't have and how they can just move in your house right after a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Arthur Idala here for Bay Ridge Honda, run by my family friend, Rob Sabah, and his family. The Sabah family has owned and operated Honda for over 60 years. 60 years serving the five boroughs. I've gotten cars there. My whole family has. My mother, my father, my sister, my brother-in-law, my grandfather. Everyone knows to go to Bay Ridge Honda because the Sabah family makes you feel like you're part of their family. To kick off spring, Bay Ridge Honda is offering $0 deals all month long. That's right, zero down deals. On top of that, APR rates as low as 1.9%. You can't find that anywhere else. No payments until summer of 2024. 90 days of no payments. Best prices around. They will offer you top dollar for your trade-in. You name it, they have it. Brand new Hondas like the all-new Civic, HR-V, CR-V, the Honda Accord, and the Honda Passport. They have them all ready for you to drive home today. Serving the five boroughs of New York, every new vehicle comes with their Bay Ridge Plus package for all of your service maintenance needs. Visit Bay Ridge Honda, 4th Avenue and 88th Street in Brooklyn, or online at BayRidgeHonda.com. Hi, it's Arthur Idala. If you listen to my show regularly, you may have heard me talk about my respect for court reporters. Well, I've got some exciting news for you. The New York State Unified Court System recently held a press conference and declared court reporting as the best career you've never heard of. Why? Because they just created a position designed specifically for brand new court reporters. The court reporting trainee position allows new court reporters to enter the court system making an annual salary upwards of $75,000 with an additional $4,600 in location pay if you live in New York City, Nassau, or Suffolk County. To qualify for the position, you don't need any working experience as a court reporter. You just need to have graduated from an approved court reporting institution and write at 225 words per minute. If you're not sure if court reporting is right for you, you can test drive the program through Plaza's free virtual A to Z program. For more information, email info@plazacollege.edu. That's info@plaza, plaza college.edu.
My name is Imran Ansari, and I lead the Civil Litigation Division of Idala, Bertuna, and Kamins. Suffering an injury in an accident can be a life-changing experience. Whether you've been involved in a car accident, a construction site accident, a slip and fall, or injured because of someone else's negligence, we can help. Our team of experienced trial attorneys will never settle for less than what you are owed. We are always ready to go to court to fight for you and seek justice. If you have been injured because of someone else's negligence, you have legal rights and may be entitled to significant money to compensate you for your pain and suffering. Hiring the right attorney is important. The combined experience of the lawyers at Idala, Bertuna, and Kamins will be able to lead you through the personal injury lawsuit process and aggressively fight for the best result. If you or a loved one have been injured in an accident, don't delay. Call 212-486-0011, 212-486-0011, or visit us at idalalaw.com. Idala, Bertuna, and Kamins, fighting for justice, fighting for you.
Does springtime make you think of more daylight, flowers and trees in bloom, or even spring cleaning? Those are all good, but not as great as the Invite Health Buy One, Get One Free Spring Into Savings event. The sale is on now. Buy any Invite Health product at suggested retail and get the second bottle free. Spring into an Invite store today to learn more about how to stay healthy with help from one of our nutrition experts. Give us a call to order by phone right now at 800-673-2345. That's 800-673-2345. Listen to past shows and informative podcasts all at invitehealth.com. Visit invitehealth.com for our retail locations and to set up a free nutritional consultation in person or by phone. Take advantage of Invite's limited time buy one get one free spring into savings sale. Contact Invite at 800-673-2345. That number again, 800-673-2345, or go to invitehealth.com.
Listen to AM 970 The Answer on Alexa, TuneIn, iHeart, or Odyssey.com.
Continuing with Eye on Real Estate, your premier source for real estate information, here's the host of Eye on Real Estate, the vice chair of Douglas Elliman, Dottie Herman.
I'm back. I'm here with Lucas Ferrara, an attorney, a prominent attorney in New York City. And we're in the middle of talking about a crazy subject. And this was all over the papers. A fed-up homeowner was arrested. This is after she had a standoff with squatters because squatters came into her house. And they threw her out and they let the squatters stay in. So, Lucas, you're in the middle of explaining how this all happened. Could you continue?
Yes, it'd be my pleasure, Dottie. First of all, you know, the New York Post story, and I don't mean any disrespect to the Post or to reporters in general, but there are a lot of mistakes in all these articles that have been posted about squatters. And part of the problem is that the word is used recklessly People like to call anyone that they don't recognize as a tenant a squatter, but that is not legally correct. So as I was saying before the break, and I'll explain it in a minute, as I was saying before the break, a squatter is a total stranger that enters property, whether it's an apartment, whether it's a house, that enters property without permission. But that is few and far between, Dottie, because how does a stranger get into a home? Well, according to this story, the house was not occupied. The mother had passed, left the house to this woman out in Flushing, Queens, and she did not occupy the home for a period of time. And while the house was empty, these people are alleged to have entered without her permission and without any rent. If that is true, then that would technically qualify as squatters. Now, the problem here in New York is that there are rules in terms of what you can do to address a situation like this. Okay? There are rules in place. You can use what's called self-help, which means taking the law into your own hands, but you cannot do it if the occupant is there for more than 30 days. Because there's a New York law that says if anyone is in possession of real estate, no matter how they got there, and they've been there for more than 30 days, you cannot evict them except by court order. You have to go to court. It's very simple. It doesn't matter how they got in, whether they paid the rent or not. If they're in possession of your apartment or your house for 30 days or more, and they won't leave voluntarily, then you have to get a court order. And this is the mistake that this woman made. These people apparently were in her home for more than 30 days. And she came after the fact, and she's bringing reporters with her. She's bringing TV crews with her, and she's trying to force these people out. And they would not leave. So right off the bat, she missed the clock. The other thing is, while I say self-help is usually permitted if under 30 days, there's a caveat to that as well. It's got to be peaceable. And that's almost impossible because you can't use force, okay? You can't say, you know, there have been some cases where if police arrive and they have guns, you know, they're holding holsters. That's force. If they will not leave voluntarily, even with under the 30-day window, you have to get a court order. So the bottom line is you're supposed to get a court order, and that's what this lady did not do.
If I may, I know I've dealt with this only because I have a very close friend, and her boyfriend was abusive. Matter of fact, he broke her ribs, but he was living with her in her apartment that she had rented for over 20 years, but he was living there more than 30 days. So when she got beat up, and I was one of the people that went and got her out of the hospital, and we went to the police and we said, we want this guy out of the house. They said, sorry, you can't do that. Well, we said, what do you mean we can't do that? Well, if he's been in the home over 30 days, you have to go through a legal, you know, eviction process, which in New York can take a while. And we said, well, that's BS. How can that be? They said, that's the law in New York. So even if you, like, have a relative or someone you know and you say, you know, they say, you know, gee, I'm looking for an apartment and I didn't find one. I had to move out. Can I stay with you for a little bit? And they pass that 30 days and then you tell them, hey, you've been here 60 days. It's time you move out. And they say, well, no, we don't want to. We're not ready. You just can't throw them out.
Well, it's a little more complicated, Dottie, because if you noticed when I started the conversation, I said, you know, squatters are total strangers. And in the example that you just gave, this is someone that was given permission to enter, see? And that's a nuance people have to appreciate. In the example you just gave with your friend, she invited the boyfriend or allowed the significant other to enter. That is not a squatter, you see? If a super, without telling you, as the owner, allows someone into an apartment or into a building. That is not a squatter, because you have designated a super as your agent, or at least under the law, a super has apparent authority, or arguably has that authority, and people can rely on that, and you're responsible for what your super does. So even if you don't know what's going on in your building, you may be charged with that knowledge, see? So if the super lets somebody in, that's not a squatter. It has to be a total stranger. When you have a total stranger, that's one thing, right? You may be able to get them out if they're there under 30 days. But if you have somebody there with permission, like that person, that, you know, that significant other, then you have to resort to a court process. That roommate is under the law, you know, that significant other, even though he's not on the lease or may not own a home, that's considered a licensee. Not a squatter. I know this is technical mumbo jumbo, but the law has characterizations for this. So if someone's a licensee, like a roommate, then you must get a court order. You have to serve them with the notice first, and then you can go to court and have them evicted if they won't leave voluntarily. But this is a situation, Dottie, where it's a total, and by the way, the police are not going to want to get involved. How are police supposed to make a determination who's supposed to stay and who's supposed to go? That's a real awkward spot to put a police officer in, right? Do you have a lease? Well, Dottie, just because you don't have a lease doesn't mean you're not a tenant. There are many tenants that are in apartments that don't have leases. So that it can't be based on that, right? So it's a problem, and that's why police don't want to get involved, and that's why they say this is a civil matter, take it to court. So this woman made a big mistake. She didn't want to pay legal fees. She didn't want to seek counsel. So she ends up getting arrested, and she could face time in prison, arguably, for trying to illegally lock out the squatters. It's crazy, I know.
Don't you think people should take away something with this? If you are doing a nice thing for somebody and somebody needs a place to stay for a small period and they say it's a friend of yours, it's a relative of yours, and they say, you know, I just need a month or two, I'm still looking for an apartment, and you say fine because you're a friend. And now they're there 3 months and you're like, okay, you know what? It's time that you leave. And they say, well, you know, we didn't find the place yet, so we're going to stay. Once you let that 30 days, am I correct? I'm not an attorney. Once you let somebody stay in your home, regardless of who it is, a relative, a friend, then if they don't want to get out, then you have to go through legal proceedings. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's about right. See, did you ever hear the expression, no good deed goes unpunished?
Yes.
So if you let someone into your home, there are risks associated with that. And if they end up not wanting to leave, then, and if they don't leave voluntarily, and if you can't get them out peaceably, then you have to get a court order. And the safest thing to do, by the way, Dottie, for all your listeners, is they should speak to an attorney and find out what the process is before they take any action. I mean, if you read the New York Post article, it's full of misinformation, so people are only going to get more confused. I mean, if you read it, the reporter writes here, some of the scenarios in which a person becomes a squatter include, ready for this, a tenant refusing to pay rent. What?
That's
crazy. If a tenant refuses to pay rent, that they're still a tenant. And if you want the rent, you got to go collect it. But that doesn't make them a squatter. This is why people are so confused.
Okay, Lucas, we're coming up to another commercial. This is so interesting. And I don't think a lot of people realize this. Okay, we're going to be right back. We're going to talk about this and the lesson that you need to know about letting anyone stay in your apartment for over 30 days. And I don't think most people know that. Why would they? Especially if it's a friend. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about what precautions you can take so this does never happen to you.
You have all helped support MyPillow and their employees in these tough economic times. Mike Lindell knows this and continues to give back to listeners with deals on his most popular products. You've heard me recently speak about the My Slippers, Giza Sheets, MyPillow 2.0, and more. Great news! The MyPillow 6-pack bath towel sets are back in stock. They are extremely absorbent, yet still provides that soft feel you look for in a towel. The set comes with 2 bath towels, 2 hand towels, and 2 washcloths. Regular price is $79.98 for a limited time. You can get this 6-pack towel set for only $39.99 with promo code JOEP. That's a 50% savings. Go to MyPillow.com. Call 800-651-0798. Use the promo code JOEP to save 50% on the MyPillow 6-pack towel sets.
Feel like you're trying to push a boulder uphill wearing skates? If you run or manage a local business today, you're challenged like never before. We get it, and we want to help. We're Salem Surround, and when it comes to marketing, consider us your personal move you forward company. In a recent study, we found that 53% of local businesses were classified as novices when it came to designing, implementing, and managing their marketing needs. And that's where Salem Surround truly shines. We're a full-service marketing agency that'll help you increase your customer base by designing incredibly effective plans to reach your consumers day, night, and everywhere they might be. Let us give you an absolutely free audit of your current marketing and what your competition is doing. Our digital sales and support teams are the best in the industry and deliver customized personal service that's second to none.
If you're a local business and ready for the next step, Google Salem Surround New York right now. Our experts are ready to help you take your marketing to the next level. Google Salem Surround New York today.
Hey, it's Joe Piscopo. I'd like to introduce you to the premier business in the investigative and security field in the United States today, Brosnan Risk Consultants, founded by my friend Pat Brosnan, decorated retired NYPD detective. You must be diligent in protecting the business you work so hard to grow, family you cherish, and the lifestyle you've achieved. Luckily, there is Brosnan Risk Consultants to keep your business healthy, keep your family safe, and identify the approaching rising tide of danger and loss well before it destroys what you have built. Brosnan Risk Consultants have been protecting clients for over 25 years, operational in 45 states and over 500 cities. Don't settle for second best. Brosnan is the gold standard in investigative and security services. Call now 800-590-2180 or go online to Brosnan Risk. BrosnanRisk.com.
The Arthur Idala Power Hour. Weeknights at 6 on AM 970. The Answer.
Listen to us online at AM970TheAnswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Craving that signature Sunday sauce? Michael's of Brooklyn will make your place a must. Join Michael's of Brooklyn Sauce of the Month Club. Receive a different jar of Michael's of Brooklyn pasta sauce, homemade pasta and biscotti each month for 6 months. Make your home the place to be with Michael's of Brooklyn signature fresh marinara right in your home. Visit michaelsofbrooklyn.com and order online. That's michaelsofbrooklyn.com. Michael's of Brooklyn, serving the community since 1964.
Our hosts all look like GQ models. See them now at AM970TheAnswer.com.
Continuing with Eye on Real Estate, your premier source for real estate information, here's the host of Eye on Real Estate, the vice chair of Douglas Elliman, Dottie Herman.
We're back, and I'm talking with attorney Lucas Ferrara on, I don't know, squatters' rights. But I'm reading, Lucas, it says, in New York City, a person can claim squatter's rights after just 30 days of living at the property. Under the law, though, it is illegal for the homeowner to change the locks, turn off the utilities, or remove the belongings of the tenants from the property. But and so, in other words, if you're doing a good deed for a friend, and you allow them to stay in your property for more than 30 days, the same thing can happen, correct? Even though it's someone you know.
Yes. Yes. In fact, you know, the article continues the misinformation, you know, in addition to a tenant refusing to pay the rent, which is, that's not a squatter, as I said earlier. The next example, a relative of a former owner refusing to leave the property. Someone there with permission, that was originally given permission to be in the property, is not a squatter. So your friend or relative that's overstaying their welcome is technically not a squatter. Why? Because they entered with permission. That's the nuance you have to remember. So if they entered with permission, they have a different array of rights. And you have responsibilities as well. So, and the final example that the article gave, or a stranger who entered the property and never left. My friends, that's a squatter. As I started our conversation, everybody else, they have special rights. Now, it's inappropriately called squatter rights, okay? Squatters technically don't have rights. They're trespassers. They're strangers. What they mean with that expression, Dottie, is that if you are there for 30 days or more, the law gives you protections. It's not squatter rights. This protects everybody. If you're in property for 30 days or more, then you can only be evicted by court order. This, my friends, is to avoid vigilantism and the world going amok. I mean, as part of this story, Dottie, I don't know if you read some of the follow-up stories, some alleged vigilantes went to the home, according to news reports, and again, I'm not making judgments, I'm just passing on what was relayed in the news stories. They were wearing Trump t-shirts, allegedly, and they went to the home, and they wanted to speak to these squatters. And apparently the squatters were intimidated, allegedly. I'm just going by what I'm reading in the media.
Right, right.
And these squatters left. Are we going to allow vigilantism? Do you remember, Dottie, I know you're very young, but do you remember what it was like in the 70s? I do, where people were like taking the law into their own hands on the subway. No, we don't want these movies like on the movies Make My Day. No, the law should be protecting everyone. Okay, and I think the problem here, as you touched upon, all right, is that this lady out in Flushing, the owner, you know, when you take the law in your own hands, this is the risk. A judge can find that what you did was baseless, illegal. And if a judge finds that you made a mistake, right, you can be exposed to criminal penalties. And according to the law, it's a Class A misdemeanor to illegally evict someone. So that's why, Dottie, when you ask me, my friend or relative, can I force them out? Well, if a judge finds that you shouldn't have done it, you can, in theory, spend a year in jail. And by the way, on top of that,
should people, like, in other words, what should people take away with this? I mean, squatters, that's a specific case where someone just enters your home that stranger. You never knew, and it's a
yes.
stranger.
Right.
Okay. Now that happens, but less likely to happen than a thing where you just allow, you do a good deed and you allow a friend or somebody to stay with you for a time and then they don't feel like moving out. And now you can't throw them out. So you have to go through a whole foreclosure proceeding. And about how long does that take? It could take a while.
A landlord-tenant eviction proceeding, that could take months. And of course, can cost thousands of dollars. And that's the bad side. That's the sad side. It does cost money. And that's what this woman was saying in the news story. But Dottie, she faces criminal penalties. So she has to hire a lawyer anyway. And she's going to have to go to court to get the property back if those squatters didn't leave. If they're still there. I think somebody stayed. So there was a story, I think, where the person that's remaining there has a rent receipt and he's showing the rent receipt in a picture. A cop is not going to evict somebody. How's a cop supposed to know whether
no,
that
they
rent
can.
Receipt? Is legitimate or not? These are not questions that a police officer can decide on the spot. The bottom line, Dottie, to answer your question, it's safest to go to court and get a court order. And this is not what people want to hear. But unless you're willing to go to jail, right, for up to a year, or unless you want to be exposed to fines and penalties, up to $10,000 fine, by the way, you better go and get a court order.
Listen, I think everyone understands the squad a bit. But let's just you say, I'm going to let my sister, I'm going to let my friend, okay? Should you have an agreement, would it help if you had, in other words, no one really thinks about that. I mean, no one thinks, the average person doesn't think, if I let my friend or my relative or my sister or whatever stay in my home over 30 days, that they might not get out. Is there something legally they can do? Would you recommend that they either make sure no one stays over 30 days, or is there an agreement that they could write that you can only stay for 30 days? Is there a way of protecting yourself?
Dottie, you've been in the business long enough. Agreement is only as good as the parties to it. If people are not honorable, what you have in writing is worthless. I mean, that's the unfortunate reality of the world, right? I mean, if people are not going to honor what they say or what they write in a piece of paper, you're dead. I think your listeners have to take away that they should speak to an attorney if they have questions. They should not act impulsively unless they want to go to jail for up to a year or be faced with fines and penalties, up to a $10,000 fine if a judge finds that they illegally evicted someone. So, by the way, Dottie, I suggested your listeners Google Letitia James. It's the woman that just went after Trump for hundreds of millions of dollars. She's got a whole memo online about illegal evictions. And you ready for this? Do you have a few minutes for just some examples?
Oh, yes.
Listen to this, because it goes precisely to what you just asked me about. Example one, a tenant and his roommate have been living together for a year. The tenant moves out, leaves his roommate. Instead of going to court, the landlord locks the roommate out. What does Letitia James, the Attorney General, say? The roommate has been unlawfully evicted. So you see, example two, the owner of a single-family home allows a nephew and a nephew's girlfriend to live in his basement. The basement does not have a kitchen or a separate entrance. After 6 months, the owner gets into a fight with the nephew and locks him out. The nephew and girlfriend have been unlawfully evicted. I hope you see a pattern. She's got another one. A tenant gets a roommate but doesn't tell the landlord. The landlord tells the tenant that they don't want the tenant to have a roommate. The landlord throws out the roommate's belongings. The roommate has been unlawfully evicted. And last but not least, hang in there, Dottie. A worker is provided a dwelling as part of their work compensation. After 6 months, the worker is fired, and the employer throws out the worker's belongings and changes the locks. The worker has been unlawfully evicted. Every time you hear unlawful eviction, think jails and thousands of dollars in fines and penalties. On top of exposure, by the way, to the person that you evicted suing you for their legal fees, too. It is, I just yelled into the microphone. You need to act cautiously. You need to stay calm, cool, and collected, and play according to the law, not act impulsively. Now, what your listeners can do, and I think you started off the show with this, is to stop being passive. You cannot sit back and complain, as you started the show so wisely indicating. Look, there's a law now, all right, of course, because of all the hoopla, the state assembly, the state senate is looking at passing some law. If you're interested, it's S5979. It's a proposed law. And interestingly enough, two Republicans are the sponsors of that law. One in the 9th District, which is Elmont in Long Beach, Nassau, and another sponsor is upstate New York, George Borrello. These senators, state senators, want to criminalize squatting. Dottie, that's the way to go. If landlords are exposed to criminal penalties for taking the law into their own hands. If you're a stranger and you enter property without consent, effectively you are stealing. And you should go to jail for that too. If landlords have to go to jail for their misdeeds, if you're stealing, then you should go to the clinker too. And I think that your listeners should call up the city council members, state senators, state assemblymen, and say, stop the madness. We need to stop people stealing in the real property context.
It's crazy. And we won't get time. We won't have time to do this week. But, you know, Lucas, next week I'd love to talk about good cause eviction.
Oh, that's more Michigas. That's more craziness.
Which is, it really is going to kill people from ever buying investment properties, you know, where you can't really evict somebody if you don't, you know, unless they didn't do anything wrong. I mean,
But I just want to leave your listeners with this thought. Don't act impulsively. Remember, I'm not giving legal advice. We're just talking about the law here. And each case is different. Each case has different nuances that could impact the advice that a lawyer will give you. So it's extremely important before you lock anybody out, before you turn off the electricity or the hot water. I can't tell you how many calls I get. I'm not being paid the rent. Can I turn off the electricity and the hot water? No. You have to go through the court process, because if you take the law into your own hands, be prepared to suffer the consequences.
Well, that's good advice. I mean, I'm not sure if I think it's the greatest, but I think it's good advice. Okay. So in other words, you should think twice before you let someone stay, even if it's a friend, in your home for more than 30 days.
Yeah.
And once you let them in,
you're vulnerable. Once you let them in,
that's it. If they don't want to move out, then you're going to have to go through a whole legal process, and God knows how long that will take, especially in New York.
Don't let people into your home that you don't trust. What is wrong with you? I'm not saying you, Dottie.
No,
if you can't trust someone, if there's no foundation of trust, if you don't know the person, you're crazy letting them in.
Yeah, it might be someone you know, because... Look, if it's a friend, I wouldn't think, if it's a friend, that if I said leave, you know, and they probably wouldn't, you know, they say, oh, well, you know, I wouldn't think they would just stay. I think maybe they'd stay a few extra days and say, please just give me a little extra time.
Well, that's fine, right? But, Dottie, I don't mean to generalize, right? But I'm being based on, haven't the biggest disappointments in your life been friends and family members?
Yes. Yes.
So, I'm sorry to be so jaded and to your answer in that question. And that's the biggest betrayal sometimes, friends and family members. So you can't assume, I'm sorry, that just because they're related to you by blood or you love a friend, and whether it's platonic or otherwise, that they're going to do the right thing. Really? No, yes. That's not the way the world works, unfortunately. So... Is it a sad commentary? Yes, unfortunately it is. But I didn't create this. I'm just telling you what the law provides. And if to be safe, you should seek the advice of a lawyer before you act impulsively. Because you know what the problem here, this woman in Flushing, she was acting emotionally. She was acting out of anger. She's going to go to jail, or could go to jail, or she's going to spend thousands of dollars on a criminal lawyer because she acted impulsively. You got to take the emotion out of the equation, and that's the tidbit.
Well, I hate to say this, but now I'm aware of this, but I have to tell you, if I walked into my house and there were people that I didn't know there, squatters, I might have acted emotionally too. So don't act emotionally. Lucas is giving you great advice. Whenever you're emotional, don't act that moment. Stop.
Right. Breathe. Take a breath. Take a deep breath. Call a lawyer. Think about the possible ramifications, because there are many.
You're great, and we'll talk about good cause evictions, which is another whole can of worms.
Thank you for having me on the show, Dottie. Absolute pleasure.
Have a great weekend, and we're going to be back with our man that makes tile, Forrest Leach Middleton, and he is a ceramics potter and tile maker, and he's going to teach us how to make custom tiles. We'll be right back after the 11 o'clock news.
The preceding hour of programming paid for by
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.